Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code CHAMPION and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Sign up today and find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com and enter code CHAMPION and place your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Virginia only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-532-3500.
What's going on, everybody? I have to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. The best part about it is it's completely free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast, all in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome in to Fired Up episode 17. We got a lot to talk about. We have preseason football to talk about. We'll get to that a little later. Dom, what's up, man? How was Boston?
Unbelievable.
It looked like you guys had a great time.
Incredible.
What was Fenway like? Everything you could imagine and all that?
Even more.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Just pulling up to Fenway. I don't know how familiar you are with Boston and Fenway at all. I'll try to keep this short and simple, but it's literally in the middle of the city. So you're looking around at skyscrapers, and then there's the Massachusetts Turnpike, and like it's crazy, man. It's like they block off streets. It's crazy. It's you walk into Fenway, it looks just like Field of Dreams in the movie when he goes to Fenway.
Right.
It's old, but it's, you walk out and man, it just hits you in the face, and it's beautiful.
That's awesome.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it looked like you guys had a real good time. I was real upset I couldn't go. Yeah. It was a big bummer, but
we picked a good game too. It was a lot. Oh,
they scored a ton of runs too. That's all, like, 8-1 at one point. I don't know what the final was.
I believe that was the final.
That was the final.
Yeah.
Yeah. While you were doing that, I was watching the Phillies get their ass kicked on a Zach Wheeler start.
Yeah. I'm sorry I had to deal with that.
Right. Yeah. No, I actually went to the game. We got tickets last second.
Cool.
Yeah. So I was there. So yeah, I mean, you got to see a lot, but you have a lot better of a weekend than, you know, me watching this, watching this goddamn Phillies team lose, you know, a series to the Reds. But you did bring it up, and I did want to mention it. I did want to talk about it. How awesome was that Field of Dreams game?
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I was watching the Eagles preseason, but just seeing the highlights and like the way that it ended was just, it was magical. The fireworks.
Absolutely.
I'm a big Tim Anderson fan, and I'm rooting for both Sox this year for the AL. So Red Sox, White Sox. So you know, absolutely. It's always good to see them pull out the win, and just the fireworks at the end were crazy. The jerseys were awesome. I had read somewhere that it was the most watched game in like 16 years, like regular season game.
I believe it. I mean, the only thing that I wish they would have done is not have it on like a Thursday night. Like, maybe that like Sunday night baseball would have been really cool.
Yeah, I understood why they did that because didn't they came back to New York or Chicago or New York, whoever it was. I think it was Chicago, right?
Well, I don't remember. Yeah. It would have been Chicago. Yeah.
So I believe they came back to Chicago to play the rest of the series. So I think they needed a day off or something. I don't know. It was something weird, but. No, I agree. They could have ended the series, at the Field of Dreams site, but
yeah, that would have been cool. Just a Sunday night baseball game instead of like a random Thursday in August. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But So, I mean, it was cool, you know, Kevin Costner being there, introducing everybody, you know, the players walking out from the corn. It was just a cool,
Go ahead. Can I also just say how much I hate Alex Rodriguez? I don't know if you saw any of, like, his pregame thing. Like,
and I didn't.
I'd like to hit him with a truck.
Okay, well, let's just get it all out now. This is therapy. Tell me your hatred towards Alex Rodriguez.
I don't know. I just don't like him. He made me hate J-Lo.
Now, does it stem from his playing days or his announcer days or a combination of both?
No, guess what? I actually don't think he's a bad announcer. I mean, I don't like cheaters, but that's not even why I hate him. He's a punch the face guy for me. So
he's got a punchable face.
And dude, like he did a lot of work to his face. I mean, Jesus Christ. But
I mean, hey, you got money, that's what you do.
Yeah, I guess.
But, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I saw him like it wasn't for the game, it was like the pregame show. Like he was the one that like had the hat backwards with the old jersey and like he was going through the cornfields and I was like, my God, I hope something like an asteroid hits him or something. Like,
well, he's gotta make it about himself, you know that.
Right. That's why I don't like him.
Right. I get it.
And he made me hate J Lo.
How can you hate J Lo?
It was very hard. So
but that's our Alex Rodriguez hate for the week.
No more, no LeBron. We're just gonna talk about Aaron.
No, you had to bring his name in somewhere, right? LeBron, we'll bring it back. So yeah, man. Before I want to get into the Phillies because it seems like they're just treading water at this point. They hopefully have an easier month, you know, out of everybody else in their division, or at least the Braves and the Mets, over the next month and a half, but. We'll get to those in a second. I just want to talk about let's talk about Field of Dreams. Let's talk about sports movies in general, all right? Because I think this is an interesting topic. What are some of your favorite? I guess you could say baseball or even just sports movies in general. Just your top five, top ten. I don't know how you want to do this.
Yeah, man. I'm ready to go. I got a top ten. I got on the cusp.
Uh-oh.
So do you want me to give you on the cusp, or do you want me to go to top ten? I'll be quick.
You can do on the cusp. That's fine.
All right, so a couple of them. I mean, it's really hard to put like comedies in the top 10 for me.
Oh, well, you know, let's just write off the top 10. That's fine.
Okay,
if that's what you want to do. Yeah.
Okay, so
I thought you said you had honorable mentions you wanted to name first.
No, yeah, I did.
Okay, yeah. Then do those. That's fine.
But I'm just saying, like, a lot of it was really hard to put like comedies, like straight comedies, in a top 10 movie, like top 10 favorite sports movies. But right. Just some of them, like real quick, Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore, Talladega Nights, mm-hmm. like Longest Yard, 61.
Do we count? Losers. Do we count Talladega Nights as a sports movie?
For sure,
it's a million-dollar question.
If Happy Gilmore is a sports movie, well, you have the people that are saying NASCAR is not a sport, but technically it is. I don't disagree with that, but technically it is.
I guess so.
61, and then literally number 11 was A League of Their Own for me. So. That was just like that was really hard not to put in the top 10 because I loved it.
Spoiler alert! That's number 10 for me.
Okay, so here's my top 10. I have number 10, Moneyball. Number 9, Rocky. I know that's a little low.
Okay.
Number 8, The Mighty Ducks.
Okay.
Number 7, which might be a little shocker to people, 42.
A great movie.
Number 6. My favorite basketball movie ever, Glory Road.
I've never seen it.
You should watch that one.
Okay.
Number 5, Major League, even though it is a comedy.
Yep. It's a terrific movie, though.
It's tremendous. It's just lines, you know, reciting lines after
absolutely
one another. Number 4, The Sandlot.
Okay.
Now, The Sandlot and The Mighty Ducks are like, they're not, to me, they're not great movies. They're just
brings things back that you grow
up with.
They're nostalgic. Like when they're all, like, I was watching. I haven't watched Sandlot in a while, but I did watch Mighty Ducks not too long ago. Okay. And I'm like, man, this is kind of cool because like I grew up watching it, but like this is a shitty movie.
Right,
it's a terrible movie.
It's like Space
and it doesn't
Jam,
hold
like
up.
We said. It's like Space Jam, like we said before.
Yeah, that's true.
The old Space Jam, the original.
Right.
Now the top three. Number 3 might surprise you. I said this before we started the show that. It might surprise you a little bit. It's not going to surprise you because it's a good movie, but being number 3 on my list. And again, this is also something I watched when I was a kid a lot. I could probably recite every line just like from The Sandlot, but number 3 I have Miracle.
Okay.
It's a
phenomenal movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Number 2, Field of Dreams, obviously. And
okay.
Number one, Remember the Titans. Number one and number two are very interchangeable for me. One day, it could be a Thursday, and I'd love Field of Dreams. It's my favorite sports movie. Then Friday, it could be Remember the Titans. You know what I mean? Very, very interchangeable. Right. But as of today, Remember the Titans is probably number one.
Okay. That's a good list. It's a solid list. What did you say 10 and 11 were? It was, what was 10? Because you had 11 Field of Dreams, A League of Their Own. What was number 10? What
came number 10 was then? Moneyball.
Moneyball, because I was going to say, I think we had them flip-flopped. Me, Moneyball was on the outside looking in at the 11th spot. So that's funny, we had them flip-flopped. I mean, I can run down.
Yeah. Real quick. But they're, I was looking at lists today, and I'm, shocked how many, sports movies I haven't seen. Like, I have never seen Caddyshack. I've never seen Raging Bull. Like, you know, great, great sports movies. White Man Can't Jump. I really have to get going on that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find them somewhere now. Hulu, Netflix, all the streaming services now. They're somewhere to be found.
No, for sure, for sure. Now, give me a list.
Okay. This probably has a couple movies you've maybe never seen. At least one you've probably never seen.
I know what it is.
Do you? We'll get to it. So number 10, I have A League of Their Own. It's just all around a great movie.
Yeah, for sure.
Number 9, and this is probably low. This might be a hot take. Field of Dreams, number 9 for me. it was just parts of it, and maybe that was kind of the idea of it. Some of it was just corny, and I don't think Kevin Costner was that great. Like, the story was good, the sentimental of it was good around the movie, but
here's the thing. I think I know why it's low on your list. You played baseball growing up, but your main sport was hockey. So growing up, my main sport, I played 8 months of the year, aside from the freezing cold weather, was baseball. Like, I play travel baseball, you play travel hockey. So it's like, I kind of understand it. It definitely hits me a little bit different probably than you.
Yeah. And it probably shows on my list because I have 3 of my top 5 are hockey movies.
Right. Exactly. It makes sense. Yeah.
So number 8, I have The Natural.
Yeah. That's a movie I saw a while ago and I have to watch again.
It's a tremendous movie. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I used to love it.
Yeah.
I'll have to watch it again soon. Number 7, The Sandlot. Same reasons as you. Number 6, Remember the Titans.
Okay.
Number 5, Slapshot.
Okay, not surprised.
Yeah, great movie. Just
again,
funny.
I have to watch that. Yeah.
Have you ever seen it?
I've seen parts of it. Maybe I've seen a lot of it when I was young, but I certainly don't remember it. I know the opening scene to the movie, and that's probably about it.
Go back if you can find it, watch it.
Yeah.
Because just everything about it just is nostalgic to the time period that the movie was made. Obviously, that it wasn't fabricated. Like, that was actual hockey going on. But it was a riot. Number 4,
real quick, I'll have to watch it and give a review like you did for Space Jam. I'll try to watch it before next week's show. But go ahead.
All right, yeah, let's do it. We'll try to find it somewhere. Number 4, Major League.
Okay.
Number 3, Rocky.
Okay.
And number 2, Miracle.
Okay. I think I know what number 1 is.
Okay.
Go ahead, you can say it.
Okay, it's probably a movie that anybody listening probably has no idea and never even heard of it, but it's just my all-time favorite movie, Mystery Alaska.
Okay, I knew it. It's funny because I looked up a couple lists today just to get an idea of what other people thought. I made my top 10, and then I kind of looked. It was on a couple. It was on a couple.
Was it really?
Top 30, top 50. Yeah, for sure.
Really?
I mean, it wasn't top 10.
No,
but it was around 25, 30, 35 on a lot of lists.
It's a movie not many people have heard about.
Right.
But it's about this team from a small town in Alaska who play pickup hockey every Saturday. They're good enough to rival the New York Rangers, and the New York Rangers come and play on their pond in Alaska. And it's a real good feel good type movie. But it's funny. It's a little corny. It can get corny, I'll admit.
Right.
But I just love that movie. It's awesome.
It's kind of hard to not get corny with sports movies,
yeah,
I feel like,
that's
depending
true.
on the situation. Like, they're like, especially Disney movies. I know it's probably not Disney, but like 42.
I forget who made it, but it's
moments.
Not Disney. Well, I also, and maybe 42 is obviously a bad example of what I'm about to say, but like, a lot of the movies that are fabricated or are an original story are more corny. Like if you look at like Miracle is obviously a true story. To me, there's nothing corny about, and it's a Disney movie. There's nothing corny about Miracle at all, and it's 100% like fact. That's exactly what happened, and it was just done beautifully.
Dude, and just going to Boston this past weekend, like everybody, I thought it was like a fake thing, like all these people that have the accent, and like it's literally everybody has the Boston accent, like
the Boston,
and literally like there's like four or five guys in Miracle who hit the Boston accent, like O'Callaghan, yep. Right? It's amazing. Like it was a great movie though. One of my favorite scenes is when he gets hurt. O'Callaghan, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gets hurt. He's on the crutches and they're on the ice. And yep. And he Herb comes out and he tells him he's gonna play. And he tells him
he's not cutting him.
Right.
I think they said he could play in a week, maybe two. If it's two, I got a tough decision to make. Right. But you worked this hard. I'm gonna hold on to you. We'll see if you can play in 2 weeks. Basically how it went.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And I just like putting his crutches up in the air and screaming. That's one of my favorite.
Gave you chills. Gave you chills.
Yeah. Actually, what's funny is I went to an art school. So I went to performing arts high school, and I went for theater, and we had to have three monologues on audition, and I did the Herb Brooks speech.
Did you? In the locker room.
Yep. Yep.
That's like an all time movie like.
Oh,
scene.
For sure. For sure.
You know.
For sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. You got anything else sports movies wise before we, you know, head into the Phillies?
No, just that you know, like I said, there's a lot of movies I have to watch. Caddyshack, Raging Bull, The Natural again, I have to watch. Even like Bull Durham, I haven't seen in a really long time. The Fighter, I heard, was great. Cinderella Man, like there's
Cinderella
a, there's a
Man
long
was phenomenal.
List.
I almost put that on my list. Cinderella Man, I thought was terrific.
Yeah, there's
even Southpaw, I thought was pretty. It's yeah for Love of Game is there's too much of a love story. Like the story itself is cool, like the baseball aspect of it.
Right.
There's too much of a love story in there that I really kind of didn't love. But you just said one that I just blanked on. I forget what it was. I will move on. It's fine. But there was another one that you said. Whatever.
Oh, so you said Southpaw.
There you go. All right. See, I thought Southpaw was good with Jake Gyllenhaal and I forget who else is in that.
Right.
Okay, but yeah, no, that was good. I'm trying to think of movies off the top here.
There's the corny movies that you love to watch when you're there's nothing on. You know, it's a Saturday night. The Rookie. You know what I mean? Like those corny movies.
Rookie of the Year. How did I not put Rookie of the Year on my list?
Rookie of the Year. That's what it is. Not the Rookie.
Well, the Rookie.
Well, the Rookie
one with,
is a movie, right?
It is.
He's like a 40-year-old rookie. That was a good movie.
Right. Yeah. It was corny. I forget who that was that played.
What, Rookie of the Year?
Rookie. I know Rookie of the Year. I know who that was. I forget who the rookie was. But whatever. We're moving on. But yeah, Rookie of the Year is a phenomenal movie. Henry Rowan Gardner, and it's
right.
Great.
I actually have a question for you real quick before we move on. I know we're trying to get to the Phillies and stuff.
That's fine.
So Kevin Costner is probably the greatest, you know, sports movie guy ever. Sports movie actor.
He's been in the most, I guess.
Right.
Is what you could say. Yeah, he's cornered that market for sure.
You know, Bull Durham, Draft Day, the Field
of Dreams.
I forgot
about Draft Day. Yeah.
You know, just long list. He's
for the love of the game. Yeah.
Right. He's Hall of Fame sports movie guy. Do you think Adam Sandler is a sports Hall of Fame guy, like sports movie Hall of Fame guy? Happy Gilmore, The Water Boy, Longest Yard. There's a couple more. I can't think off the top of my head, but it's like a discussion that goes around.
He was in Uncut Gems, which
I
don't know if you could really call that a basketball movie because it was more a betting movie that happened to feature basketball.
Fuck it, we'll throw it in.
Yeah, why not? I just don't think of Adam Sandler as like a sports movie actor. Like I forgot about most of the movies you just named. Like Happy Gilmore is a golf, I guess, is a movie about golf, but it's a comedy in the sense that like I don't think of it as a sports movie. I just think of it as a goofy, feel good, like just funny movie.
Right.
Does that make sense?
For for sure.
So I just don't think of it as a sports movie, even though it probably is. But
no, yeah, I just wanted to get your take.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider him that. No, and maybe because he's done a whole bunch of other stuff, and you think of Adam Sandler as something different.
Right.
I don't really put him into that echelon.
And not to get too much into it more, but he's Happy Gilmore's definitely top three Adam Sandler movie for me. But
Well, I mean, that could be a whole nother list.
I already have it. So
you're already ready.
I already have it on my phone.
There you go.
The pandemic was rough.
Exactly.
I made lists.
Made lists. That's all. You did. Yep.
Yep.
All right, let's get into the Phillies.
Quarantine was tough.
Let's get into the Phillies. Lost one to the Reds, 2 out of 3, after losing 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers. It seems like with the next, like, maybe 12 games or so that the Mets have on their schedule, because they play, like, I think they just got done a 3-game set with the Dodgers. Then they play 3, I think, with the Giants. Then I think 4 more with the Dodgers. And then, like, 3 more with the Giants.
Right.
It's insane. So they're probably – their schedule's tough moving on. So it seems like it's going to really come down to the Braves and Phillies. I mean,
yeah.
What's your take?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
They won 8 straight, and then they played the Dodgers, and I don't think anybody expected them to sweep. Honestly, I really didn't expect them to win the series. They went 1 of 2, and then honestly, I think You had to win the Red Series, and they just didn't do it. I missed the game Friday, obviously, I was at Fenway. Saturday, we actually had gotten back from something we had did. We did a tour, and we got back. We're on the subway coming back, that, oh, shit, Matt Moore has a no-hitter. So we went back, and we had watched the game, the rest of the game. We got it on TV somehow. And Archie Bradley comes out, and one of my buddies said, I forget who it was. Somebody said, yeah, I love Archie Bradley, but I don't like him in this spot. And he gave up the hit, and they wind up winning the game. It was a great slide by Brad Miller at home. I don't know if he meant to do it on purpose to slide the way that he did. It might have just been his body, the way it, you know.
Probably, went. Yeah. What was your take on Girardi pulling Moore? After being, you know, having no hits after 6 innings. What was your take on that?
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.
Looking to upgrade your kitchen with a beautiful, stylish centerpiece? LG can help with our new CounterDepth Max French Door Refrigerator lineup. Finally, the industry's first and only CounterDepth design offered in standard depth capacity. Now you can get the refrigerator style you love with the storage space you need with no compromise on interior capacity. LG's CounterDepth Max refrigerators. Built-in style, full-size capacity. Learn more at LG.com.
I don't know because I didn't watch the game. Like, I didn't watch the first 4 or 5 innings.
Right.
So, he was only at, what, like 70-something pitches?
Yeah, it wasn't high. It wasn't high. Like... My personal take is, I don't think I would have done it in that situation. Yeah, I think you got the guy who's having a no hitter. He's clearly locked in, right? Let him go until you see reason to pull him. But at the same time, I understand it because it's Matt fucking Moore.
Right.
And the next inning, he could have let up 4. Like, that's just who he is. So I understand the decision. I probably just would have done something different.
So it was a 1-0 game, right, at that point?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why, in my opinion. I didn't watch the game, so I don't know how. I don't know if he was striking guys out and, you know, he really wasn't being touched. I don't know if he was just getting guys to hit the ball in the right spots. I don't know. But with a 1-0 game with Matt Moore on the mound, it's probably not the worst idea in the world to have a bullpen come in.
Right.
If it's a 4-0 game, fuck it. You know?
Right.
Just let guys warm up every half inning and you ride it out with Matt Moore. But I just think Girardi was a little worried. It seems like Girardi was a little worried that it was only a 1-0 game. So
yeah, I'm looking at his stat.
I believe
now,
it was a 1-0 game.
It was a 1-0 game. They ended up blowing things open. You know, yeah, it was 1-0.
And then it was 3-0.
No, I lied. It was 1-0.
It was 1-0. Yep. Then it was 3-0. And then I think the first hit was a
home. It ended up being 6-1 was the final.
Right. It was 3-0, and then they hit a homer. To break the no hitter, and then the Phillies scored three more.
But six innings pitched, no hits, no earned runs, obviously, two walks, eight strikeouts.
All right, eight strikeouts through six isn't terrible. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Yeah, especially for Matt Moore. Yeah, I mean, you're not expecting that from Matt Moore.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I think, honestly, I think if it was a 3-4, 5-0 game, they would have let him ride it out.
Yeah, that's possible.
It's funny because I had said to somebody, we was like the second, or it was like the fourth inning. We were on the subway coming back, and somebody had said, "Oh, Matt Moore's throwing a no hitter." Or no, I'm sorry. It was we were going somewhere on the subway, and we said, "Oh, I'd probably rather have Velasquez than Matt Moore pitch." We come back on the subway. We're coming back on the subway, and it's the fifth inning, and he's got a no hitter. Like it was like, oh shit! Like we just said we'd rather have Vince Velasquez, but this guy's throwing a no hitter.
Yep.
So.
I guess, is it too early to scoreboard watch? I'm watching the scores right now, and the Atlanta's up 10-2 to the Marlins. So they're going to create a little bit of separation.
Seems like it.
You know what I mean? So yeah. What are the Phillies' chances to make the playoffs legitimately, do you think?
Well, they have to win the division.
Obviously.
I'm saying they're not going to get in as a wild card.
No chance.
You know, Tatis coming back, it's tough to make it as a wild card.
Yep.
I don't know. I guess it baseball's such a weird sport. Like, it's a very hot and cold. It's a long sport. It's a long game. It's a long season. So it's a game of stretches. They're two games. They're one game right now, right?
I just had it up. Hold on. They'll be
two games tonight.
One and a half.
Okay, yeah. So it's 1.5. It's August. Can they come out and pull out another 10 wins? Probably. Can they come out and lose 10? Probably. So it's they're a 500 team still, in my eyes, in a sense. But like, I mean, let's keep going. Let's still have confidence in this team.
Yeah, and I'm looking at their schedule. Maybe it's a little too early to be breaking down their whole entire schedule from here on out. But like, I'm looking. They play
it's
Arizona.
Easy.
They play Arizona, San Diego. Okay, San Diego's a good team. Tampa Bay, Arizona again, Washington, Miami, Milwaukee, who Milwaukee is a good team. I'll give that to them. Colorado stinks. Chicago stinks. Mets are probably going to be out of it by that time. Baltimore stinks. Pittsburgh stinks. Atlanta, Miami. I mean, that's the final stretch is Atlanta and Miami. But, like, out of those teams, what playoff team do you see? I mean, Atlanta and Milwaukee?
Atlanta, Milwaukee.
And San Diego.
Yeah. So you got to win the games that you're supposed to win.
Exactly.
That's the trick, which they should have done this weekend.
Right. Exactly.
So I don't know, man. We'll see.
That is the weird thing about baseball, though, is like Zach Wheeler, who's, you know, up for a Cy Young this year potentially, gets shelled and doesn't look like himself one day, and against the very next team, Matt Moore throws six hitless innings.
Right. It's a game. It's a game of stretches. It's a game of being hot and cold. It's 182 games a year. I mean, you play in the hot and you play in the cold weather. So it's finding your groove. It's not easy hitting 300. It's not. Like, that's why only 10 or 15 guys do it every year. So
speaking of hot and cold, Bryce Harper seems like he's slowing down a little bit. The average is creeping down probably close to the 290 range. I think it got up as high as 303, 304. Go ahead. Sorry.
He's at 297. Right now,
it did go up again. Okay,
yeah, he's at 297.
At one point, I saw it went down. They creeped down to like 292, 293.
Right.
Okay, so it did go back. Okay, yeah. So he's hovering right around 300, but it seems he has cooled off a little bit. He's still showing some pop, obviously. But I mean, is he out of the, or is he even in it? Was he ever in it? The MVP talk. Do you think?
I think he for sure is. There's a see, that's the difference between the AL and NL. The NL, I mean, I think it's not that it's wide open, but
I think it's a one horse race. Personally, I think it's a one horse race.
Well, before we say that name, I do want to say, because I know who you're talking about, but I do want to say that it's a lot more open than the AL. Like the AL top five guys are just raking. Like the NL, I don't think DeGrom's gonna win because
he's missed way too much time.
Right.
Yeah,
he's been unbelievable, but he's been hurt.
Yeah, he's missed way too much time. If he only missed a month or two, I could understand giving it to him. If he came back and was still the same, he's missed way too much time at this point to even consider him, honestly.
Right. So, I think if he could get hot again and continue this, get those RBIs up, get those homers up, and that average up, I think there's a chance. I do. If you would have asked me last week, I would have said you're crazy if you don't think he's the MVP. But that was because the other guy was hurt. So
and looked like he could have been done for the year a week ago.
And now he's playing right field.
Right. And that, yeah, Fernando Tatis Jr. who we're talking about, obviously. Right. But I mean what he's doing is stupid. And then he came back in his first game and just hit casually two home runs, a double. You know, he's insane.
He's crazy.
So I think it's his to lose, honestly, at this point.
To me, there's three guys in the NL right now. It's Bryce Harper. Like I said, 297, 21 homers, 49 RBIs. Tatis,
I know that Harper missed a little bit of time, but like 49 RBIs, what's his pace right now? Probably what? 70 to 75 RBI? Is the MVP guy really going to get 70 RBIs? Like, I don't see that. I mean, and that's probably being, you know, aggressive by saying he's going to get 70, 75. He might not.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so, an MVP guy getting less than 70 RBIs
That's a fair argument.
Yeah.
I think they do take into consideration the fact that he was hurt a little bit, and he does not. So, did I give you the crazy stat? I can't remember if I said it on here or not.
I don't remember.
There's a crazy stat I heard last week or the week before that there are 175 or 178 guys in the league that have had more opportunities with guys on base than Bryce Harper. That's six. It's an average of six guys on a team per team.
Right.
So
yeah,
we could sit here and say that, yeah, he has had opportunities with guys on base. He's had over maybe 120 plate appearances with guys on base, but I still think you have to take into consideration that there has to be guys in front of him to get the RBIs. He's only got 21 homers. That's 21 of the 49 are solo homers. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be tough. It is. McCutchen won with under 100 RBIs. I know a lot of people say he shouldn't have won MVP, but is it impossible? No. Is it going to happen? Probably not because of Tatis. But
yeah, Tatis has 15 less at bats than Harper,
right?
And has 74 RBIs.
Right, he's hitting 300, 33 homers, 74 RBIs.
But, yeah,
but honestly, if he wins the MVP, it's great. But I'm not gonna be like upset. Like, I if they make the playoffs, I'll be perfectly fine. Like, I just want this team to make the playoffs. I want them to experience the playoffs. I want to experience playoffs. I don't care if they get swept in the first round.
Do you think
how unbelievable would it be to wake up on a crisp October Sunday, watch the Birds at 1, and then the Phillies come on at 7? Like, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Like, we experienced that from 07 to 11. Like,
it wasn't very long.
I want that feeling again.
Absolutely. Do you think they can make noise in the playoffs, though? Like, legitimately?
It depends, because they're a hot team, and then they're a cold team, and then they're a hot team, and then they're a cold team. Any team, baseball and hockey are the two sports that any team can win. Hockey's a very much underdog, and where baseball, it's like, it's if you get hot and you go, like, you can go. Like, look at 2011. They won 102 games, and then St. Louis came in here and kicked their ass. Like, because St. Louis was the wild card team, and they got hot, and they went to the World Series. Like,
I think they won it, didn't they? Didn't they win the World Series?
Maybe. Did they win in 2011? Yeah, they beat the Rangers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they went off and won a World Series, like, as a wild card team. And it's just like a game about being hot. And if they can get hot the last week of September and they're still in it and they win the division, who knows? Maybe they can win a series or two. I don't know.
I think if they go up,
probably not. But
well, I think if they go up against a team like Milwaukee, I think they can win. Sure,
me too.
They could definitely beat Milwaukee. I think
Milwaukee. What about the Giants? Do you think if they played the Giants, do you think they could? They could possibly beat the Giants. I don't know if they can.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, to me, I still look at the Giants roster and I'm like, how are they so good? I don't understand it. I don't understand where they're getting their success from. Gausman or whatever the hell his name is like, was a Cy Young candidate a few weeks ago. Like, I don't know where they're getting all this production from. Gabe Kapler somehow is doing great things over there, even though I still don't know how much a manager really does in an everyday, you know, setting in baseball. But still, they've surprised me. But their lineup just tells me, yeah, the Phillies can definitely win a series against them. But I think where it stops, I think is LA. I mean, LA is just all around, is an all-star team. They're just dominant all around.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like I said, I don't care if they lose in three in the first series. You know what I mean? I don't.
Right.
I just want playoff baseball. I mean, I'll be disappointed. I want to see them win, obviously. But, like, I just want playoff baseball. I want Red October.
Well, yeah. You want playoff baseball because, like, that again, we've said it before, we said it in the past. That was the expectation when you give Bryce Harper $330 million. It's to compete and be in the playoffs essentially every year.
Right. And building a team around him.
Exactly. And you know, give these young guys some playoff experience. You know, Alec Boehm, I know he's a mess right now. At this point, I wouldn't even really play him down the stretch. Like, I think, what are your thoughts on Alec Boehm? Like, just give it to me. I'm curious what you have to say about the Alec Boehm thing.
Okay, so I think people need to relax. I do.
I agree.
I think, yes, he's terrible defensively. Is he a third baseman? Probably not. Is he a first baseman? Probably not, because he doesn't hit well enough to be a first baseman. But I think people need to relax. Now, I'm gonna bring up a stats for you real quick, and I'm going to read your stats, and you're gonna tell me who you think this baseball player is. Okay.
Okay, a current player?
No, not a current player. So this player, right, played 13 games his first year. So, you know, obviously it was his second year. Technically, it was still his rookie year.
Okay.
With 443 plate appearances in his technical second year, but still rookie year, 367 at-bats, he hit 18 homers, 52 RBIs, and hit 196.
Okay.
Now, arguably one of the greatest baseball players ever, okay? I'm not really telling you to guess it, but
I was just saying, I mean, you just gave me one year. Like, I'm supposed to guess that. I'm going to guess Albert Pujols. I don't know.
No. So, so like I said, 18 homers, 52 RBIs, 196. The following year, he hit 36 homers, 116 RBIs, and 282, right? This player is Mike Schmidt.
Okay.
I'm not saying Alec Boehm is Mike Schmidt. I'm not saying he's anything close to Mike Schmidt. I'm just saying that you need to give baseball players time. Like, all these people that trade Boehm and get rid of Boehm and,
yeah,
you know, he stinks and this, that, and the other. Relax. Everybody needs to relax. I'm just saying.
No, I agree. But at the same time, like, you're in the middle of trying to win a division. I wouldn't play him right now. Like, I don't think he's a player every day right now. You try to grow him. Like, he's still young. I mean, he's a little older than I thought. He was, like, 25. But still, for baseball, that's still incredibly young. You don't play him now because I think you're getting more out of Torres and Galvis when he comes back. So, I mean, you just have other options that are more reliable for a team trying to win the division. But in the off season, you work with him. You try to get better. See what he has come spring. See what he has, you know, next April. Like,
and I definitely don't disagree with that. Yeah. I'm just saying, these people that, like, wanted to trade him a couple weeks ago,
I think that's insane.
They're done with him. Like, relax. Yeah. And that's the thing. He's young. Like, he's still young. That's the way baseball is. Is like, it's playing bad when you're young and trying to. If this guy can figure it out, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
Let's relax on it a little bit. Let's, like, that's what makes good players great players, is that when they come back from things like this, like he was clutch last year. He hit the ball opposite field a lot. Again, I've said it on the podcast, and I've said it multiple times, even off the record. He's got to start hitting the ball. He's got to start pulling the ball and hitting homers. But let's relax a little bit. Like,
yep, absolutely.
Like, we're trading this guy already when he's played, 100 career games? Like, 120 career games? Like, he was a number three pick. He was great in college. Like, let's let him ease into this a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. You can't come out and be Nolan Arenado right away. Like, that just doesn't happen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, I agree completely. Again, I'm not trying to, like, compare him to the greatest third baseman ever, but I'm just saying, even the best players in the world.
For sure.
Even the best player in the
world.
It
takes time.
Players in the world. Right. They have their stretches.
It takes time. So, all right, ready to move on to our next topic here?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because we have a little bit of trivia. But before we get to the trivia, I just want to, you know, let everybody know out there. You know, obviously, we do have merch. Go check that out. We have a little bit of a let me see, pull this up right here. Guys over at Drunk on Broad rocking the Fired Up shirt. That looks cool. I'm not going to lie.
It's badass.
It looks
clean.
Is.
I don't have anything yet, but it looks clean.
Let me see here. Oh, also, I do want to bring this up. Hold on, let me pull up some things here, because I just want to clear the air here, right? There's obviously, I want to address this big ass elephant in the room, because the guys over at Drunk on Broad, I have a little bone to pick with them.
Okay.
All right. Now, is there any sort of resemblance here?
Apparently, you guys, it is spot on.
The guys at Drunk on Broad think I look like Clark Duke from Hot Tub Time Machine. If you're not watching live, Sex Drive, Hot Tub Time Machine, tweeted out saying
he was in the Office. Yeah,
was he in the Office?
Yeah, at the end.
I don't watch the Office.
You're a flaming douche. But go ahead.
I just think it's overrated. But
I think you're overrated. Go ahead.
But I don't see any resemblance. I had to address the elephant in the room.
I mean, you don't look like exactly like him, but it you resemble him. It's funny. He's a funny ass dude. Like,
he is, absolutely.
He's a funny ass dude.
I just had to bring that up. All right, we can move on to trivia.
Oh, wait, before we do that, by the way, the cell phone case is pink.
Is that pink from Twitter?
It is pink.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. I was a little distracted by something else that was going on in that photo, but we'll move on here.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So we do have trivia this week. I texted you the other day saying I was going to ask you the questions. I have a little bit of a theme.
Okay.
Let me pull up my questions
here. I'm a little nervous here. That's two straight weeks you're asking questions, so.
That's true. That's a lot of power. But because you spent the weekend in Boston, I figured I'd make this a Boston-themed trivia week. All right, pulling out all the stops.
Okay.
All right, so I got five questions here. I have one football, two. They're obviously they're Philly adjacent.
Right.
They're Philly adjacent, but Philly and Boston. So like they're all questions about Philadelphia as
this
well.
Fucking fly.
I was gonna say I see it flying around your camera right now.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Go ahead.
So I got one football, one hockey, one basketball, and two baseball.
Okay.
So I don't know which way you wanted to go first.
Surprise me.
All right, I'll just do it in order then. All right, who was the MVP of Super Bowl 39 against the Patriots?
Eli.
Philadelphia.
Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I was drawing a blank. what the fuck was his name? Who was it? It should have been, the defensive back. It should have been him, but it wasn't. It was shit. I'm trying to think of who it was because I actually saw this recently.
Did you really?
Yeah. It wasn't. It was a Branch.
It was Branch.
It was Branch.
Yeah. Yeah. It was Branch. Deion Branch. All right.
It was a receiver. I just couldn't remember which receiver.
Right. Yeah, I forgot Deion Branch even, like, existed.
Yeah, he had a big game.
Yeah, he was. So I'll move on to the Flyers. Who in Game 7 of the 2010 Stanley Cup playoffs against the Boston Bruins, who scored the game-winning goal to complete the 3-0 series comeback?
The game-winning goal?
The game-winning goal in Game 7, yeah.
Jesus. For the Flyers.
Yep. Yeah, because that was the year that they were down 3-0 in the series, and then they were down 3-0 in Game 7 as well. They scored three goals, and then this guy scored in the third period, late in the third period.
I know Briere scored. I know Gagne scored. I think it was one of those two. I'm going to go Gagne.
It was Gagne.
Yeah.
Look at you, two for two.
I know. I think Briere tied it, maybe?
Yeah. I forget who else scored in that game. Yeah. But yeah. That whole game, the whole Hartnell. Series was nuts.
I think it was JVR, Hartnell, Briere, Gagne.
That whole series, now, if David Krejci doesn't get hurt for Boston in like Game 3, that series is probably over.
Lights out. Yeah, it's lights out in 4.
How many times have the 76ers played the Celtics in the playoffs since 2010?
Since 2010. 3?
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that... that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.
Aprovecha los precios más bajos de la temporada de JCPenney. Como toallas de baño Home Expressions Quick Dry a solo $4.88. Y encuentra aún más ahorros en botas para damas y jeans para él y ella de marcas como St. John's Bay, Mutual Weave, Arizona y más. Comenzando en $21.88 cada uno. Compre con estilo. JCPenney. Ofertas válidas hasta el 23 de octubre en selección de estilos. Los precios más bajos de la temporada se refiere al periodo del 31 de julio al 23 de octubre. Se excluyen del cupón.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 3.
Yeah.
Do you know what the results were of those?
Well, the first one was 2011?
12.
2012.
The 11-12 season, yeah.
Okay, so 2011, 2012, they lost in 7.
Yep.
The Sixers lost in 7.
Yep.
Then it was, what, 2017? 18?
18, yep.
The 17-18 season, I mean?
Yep.
They lost in 5.
You're on a roll. 5. Yeah.
And then last year they lost in 4. Or yep, 2020 they lost in 4.
Yeah, 2020, yep. Yeah, there you go. All right, so now I got the two baseball questions. So who pitched the very first perfect game for the Red Sox in a game against the Philadelphia Athletics in 1904?
Go fuck yourself.
Well, no, it's actually, like, I don't want to give you the answer because I want you to think about it a little bit. It's more obvious. No, it's way more obvious than you think, though.
Cy Young?
Cy Young, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's Cy Young, yeah.
Okay.
Just like the most famous baseball, or the most famous pitcher of all time. I just had
They only have one little award named after him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that they give the best pitcher in baseball every year.
Right, just a little one.
So this, he wanted me to bring this up. This was a fan-submitted question.
Yeah, fan my ass.
All right, so on May 25th, 2014, the Phillies were no-hit by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Name the former Red Sox pitcher that no-hit the Phillies.
Well, give me the name again. And,
May 25th, 2014. And he also wrote down extra point. Name the Phillies player who struck out to end the game. That was his bonus question.
Dominic Brown.
Yeah, no, it was not.
2014. Oh boy, is it like do I know the guy? Like,
yes. He's not you know, like an all-time great, but you know the name, yeah, for sure.
Was it you said he was a Dodger at one point before?
Well, he was no hit. The Phillies were no hit on this day by the Dodgers. This guy before played for Boston. So he was on the Dodgers at the time. He was on the Dodgers at the time, and he played for Boston previously.
Okay, so there were no hit by the Dodgers in 14 by a guy who also played for Boston before. Okay. Right.
Turns out, I was going in depth with this. Turns out, Boston and the Red Sox and the Phillies don't meet ever at any point ever. Like, just them being in different leagues, they've never matched up in the World Series. So it was tough. I had to scrape at the bottom of the barrel for these Phillies Red Sox questions.
Right. Let's see. We don't have a ton of time here, but so he was on the Dodgers. He was a Dodgers pitcher. It wasn't like Scott Kazmir, was it?
No.
I don't know. That was my guess.
Josh Beckett.
Josh Beckett, okay. Yeah, I didn't realize he played for the Dodgers.
Yeah, yes, there you go. And then the Phillies player who struck out at the end of the game was Chase Utley. I don't remember that.
Okay.
No hitter at all, but there
neither
you go.
Do I.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's move on to the Eagles.
So I was 4 for 5. Let everybody know.
You are a lot better than I am at trivia. I'm not gonna lie.
Do that, but
well, yeah, it's not really hard to do. All right, so we're moving on to the Eagles. First preseason game was last Thursday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lost 24-16, but like, does anybody really count scores and whatnot in preseason? What was your overall makeup of the game? I mean, it's just exciting. Football's back. We have a football game to talk about.
Yeah, man. It was. I was waiting all week.
Yep.
It was exciting to get football back, but you know, some sloppy play, some great plays. You know, the name we keep bringing up, Quez Watkins. I think Jalen Hurts didn't look tremendous. What was he like?
I don't think he looked bad, though. Yeah, I don't think he looked bad. I mean, he had a couple drops.
He missed two throws.
Yeah, but
ball,
like...
The deep ball he missed.
I don't know if he missed, if that was missed.
It was overthrown, in my opinion.
A little bit, but Watkins also, I think, got bumped on his way to the route.
It's hard to throw over that guy. I mean, look... You know my feelings on Hurts, but yeah. I'm also very open to him too. To me, he missed the throw.
Okay.
And then the other one was the Rager throw Rager on the sideline. He should have caught it, but it was still a terrible throw.
Right.
But you know, you're just kind of hoping that you're just kind of hoping that these guys don't fall back into the drops, because Ertz on third down dropped,
yeah.
You know, which he also missed. I think it was Rager who was going deep on the sideline, wide open. So like,
right.
Like, you know, it's a drop. It stings, but like, it also stings that you had a guy wide open. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It was definitely not the start I was hoping for. But again, it's preseason. We got two more of these. He's probably gonna play one more. But let's just hope. You know, he starts to figure it out a little bit going into the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it's preseason. You know, that's where you work out the kinks, right?
Right.
So
it's the kinks for everybody. It's the kinks, working out the kinks for the players, the coaches, the refs. Like, you know. So
absolutely, but I mean, Joe Flacco, I actually thought looked decent too. Like,
did you see?
Bad.
Did you see? I think it was either The Athletic or it was one of those stupid like big time sites or whatever. They tweeted out like Joe Flacco coming for QB1 with the eye emojis after he threw the screen
to Watkins and Watkins, yeah. And everything else. Yeah. That can't be like a serious.
It was dead
headline.
Serious. No, it was dead serious.
That's not like a tongue in cheek, like, no. Sarcastic.
Look it up right stupid. Now.
I hate The Athletic. I think
it's not The Athletic. It's
okay. Well, I still hate The Athletic. That fly's still buzzing around your head.
Yeah, I know.
But okay. Well, I still am not a huge fan of The Athletic. Let's just let that be known. Right. But yeah, well, I mean,
who it was? And it wasn't The Athletic. It wasn't Sports Illustrated. It was some one of those,
probably like a Bleacher Report.
Bleacher Report.
Like that.
That's what it was.
Is that who it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like Joe Flacco coming for QB1 with eye emojis, and I just wanted to like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And even if they were kidding, I hope whoever wrote that gets fired.
That's a little harsh.
Nah, I don't care.
I mean, listen, that's a dumb thing to say. I mean, all he did was throw the ball, a little screen, and Quez Watkins turned on the Jets and ran 79 yards or whatever it was.
Yeah, my fucking grandma could throw that ball.
Dude, Watkins has impressed me. Like, he seems legit, honestly.
Did you see any of the footage from practice today?
No, I didn't.
From Monday. So the Patriots are in town for the week. They're practicing with the Eagles. Again, one-on-one, I said it last week, one-on-one drills are made for the receiver.
Yeah.
It's tough to be a cornerback and stopping every play one-on-one. He torched J.C. Jackson like twice today.
Did he really?
Yeah, on a deep ball and on like a – it was like a five and cut or like whatever you call it. I don't even know the play call. But he – and J.C. Jackson was rated as a top 10 corner last year.
Right.
Coming into this year. Dude, he's got good footwork, like Quez Watkins. Like,
yeah.
I'm not gonna sit here and say he's wide receiver too. Like, I'm not gonna go into the season thinking that. I want to see it in the regular season before I sit here and say, oh, this guy's the next DeAndre Hopkins, or this guy's the next
Tyreek,
or
it's probably like, better comparison. Tyreek full speed.
Well, I'm talking about more about like a fifth round pick panning out.
Right. Okay.
So like, Tyreek Hill is one of them. That's a good one.
Yeah.
And the speed part.
Right.
But also like Diggs. Diggs was like a sixth round pick. So like, two top five receivers right there.
Right. Yeah.
So like, I'm not gonna sit here and say that he's that guy yet, because I want to see it in the regular season. I want to see it for a full season. But it's exciting, man. It's a lot of fun. It's hopeful.
Yeah.
It's hopeful.
And he could turn on the Jets. Like, he's fast.
He goes from 0 to 100.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't.
He's the fastest kid alive.
Yeah, super bad. He's the fastest kid alive. Yeah.
Exactly. That's my new clip. When I saw him turn on the Jets for that touchdown, I was like, that's exactly what it reminded me of. He's blazing speed. Like, and the cornerback had like a read on him too. Like, it looked like he was going to get caught, and then Watkins just blew right past him.
Yeah. Yeah, he hit another gear.
Yep, absolutely.
He's the fastest kid alive.
He's like, the fastest kid alive.
There you go. Yep. I can recite that whole movie, but
it's one of the greatest movies
it's
ever.
It's probably my third favorite comedy of all time. I got lists.
Well, hold on.
I've got lists.
Now I gotta ask, what are one and two?
The Hangover's number one. And
you put
number
The Hangover
two,
over Superbad. Like, I liked Hangover. I don't know if it's above Superbad for me.
They were both when they both came out, they were not, you weren't expecting either of them to be as funny as they were.
That's fair.
Well,
I also think The Hangover lost a little bit of luster when they came out with the second and third one, because I don't think they were
both hilarious. I thought they were both hilarious.
I don't know. But what's number two?
I would have to say, guess what? It might be number two, but I think it's number two and Step Brothers is number three.
Okay.
And then you have like classics like My Cousin Vinny.
I was just about to say My Cousin Vinny and Superbad go back and forth on my list of one and two.
Yeah. So. But yeah, I mean, I got a list, but we're a sports podcast, so we're gonna try to stay away from that.
Yeah. One day we'll get there. We'll create a list of best comedies.
Okay.
He's the fastest kid alive.
So all right,
we're gonna play that all season. We're going to play that all season.
That's it.
For Quez Watkins.
That's it. I have it saved, and anytime he does something good, that's all we're going to do.
If we come in after a game where he had a big game, that's how we're starting the show off, after the intro.
He's the fastest kid alive.
Exactly.
We're just going to keep playing it.
On repeat.
I'll
just put it on a loop. I don't want to stick with the offense, though. Like, it seems, and obviously it's just one preseason game, and obviously we love to overreact on the smallest game, right, the smallest scale. But, like, it seems like it's going to be a very tight end heavy offense. Like, you had, I think, every pass in the first quarter or first half, I forget what it was to a tight end. So it just seems like a tight end heavy offense at this point. Like, that's kind of what they're going to do between Goddard, Ertz. Ertz looks really good other than the one third down drop.
Right.
And then even Rodgers, I thought, looked decent. Just all around, I mean, it's going to be a real tight end heavy offense.
Well, they're saying that who's this other tight end? The quarterback.
I forget.
I forget his name off the top of my head, but he's even making a push to be tight end three. So like, I don't know. Richard Rodgers has his work cut out for him, but like you said it a couple weeks ago, it's all going to depend on Jalen Hurts. It's all going to depend on what he does and how he plays and how he runs the offense and if he can hit the right guys at the right time with the accuracy. Because like you just said, the offense is can be lethal, honestly, if the receivers pan out, if Watkins pans out.
Tyree Jackson, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the receivers pan out, like Fulgham and Smith and Rager and Watkins and, you know, both tight ends stay healthy and the offensive line stays healthy and Sanders stays healthy, I mean, it's a lot of guys to try to stay healthy, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this offense...
On a team that notoriously has injuries, like, all
correct.
The time.
Right. it's in the water. But, like you're saying, like, the offense can be very, very, very good. It's just all going to depend, like you said a couple weeks ago, all going to depend on how Jalen Hurts plays.
Yep, absolutely.
The defense definitely scares me a little bit, though.
Yeah, like, the thing is, we don't really see much from the starters on defense. Like, they're there for a drive or two. I didn't really see much of Slay, much of Nelson. I'll tell you what, the first couple of drives, I thought the defensive line, and maybe we should expect that because I think this is going to be a very good offensive line. They looked really good.
Right.
They were getting in real quick.
Even though they looked really good, I don't even think, like, I think Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox really kind of, like, half-ass preseason every year.
Probably. You know what I mean? That's probably true.
So if they're half-assing it and they look pretty decent, like, you know, that's right. Something to look forward to.
But even guys like Milton Williams, I thought, like, showed right. power and explosiveness, you know what right. I mean? That's a rookie, yep. So I don't know how much really expecting out of him, but I thought he looked decent.
Look, it goes back to what I said a couple weeks ago, too. Josh Sweat, like, I think Josh Sweat has the ability to be really good. It's just staying healthy.
Yep.
If the defensive line stays healthy, maybe they do make noise. Maybe they do get that, what was it, 6.5? Maybe they do get over 6.5 wins.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, I think the offense, as long as Jalen Hurts plays decent, I think the offense will be fine. It's just worrying about the defense. And, you know, I'm excited to kind of see more of it on Thursday.
I actually thought Singleton didn't look that bad. I mean, I thought he's had a decent camp so far. He looked solid in the time we saw him. He played a little longer. I think he played the first half. Right. If I remember correctly, and I've grilled Singleton on this podcast multiple times. So I think he's been horrible the last couple of years.
He was great last year, not great, but I thought he had he was their best linebacker and like he made some big
plays. That's not saying much. That's like the Phillies winning the NL East. Like
no, it's not. It's not saying a lot, but it's he's still playing well. Like he's still playing well enough. Like he still looks like an NFL right. linebacker to me. I mean, he had a solo tackle, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. No, he looked good. He's showing a little bit of speed. He's showing a little range too, which I like. Like he's covering right. ground quick,
right?
Which I like. But like overall, I think like, and it's probably way too early to tell if Sirianni's going to be a good coach or not. But like just from watching the first actual game. It seems like they were like legitimately prepared. They had a game plan. Yeah. The players looked prepared to play, and I don't know how much we could say that, you know, in the last couple of years of Doug Peterson.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Another guy on the defensive side that I thought looked, you know, he made a nice play. The safety Harris.
Yep.
I think his name. Yeah. He had a pass breakup on third down, or maybe not a bit of pass breakup, but it was the running back was going to catch the ball and. He came back and hit him from the back, and I think it was third down.
I think I remember the player talking about. It was early in the game, right? I think it was the first quarter, yeah.
First or second drive, yeah.
Yeah. But on to the running backs. So Miles Sanders didn't play. They announced after the game that there's no injury. We've seen him. We know what he is. What do you take away from that quote?
You're hitting me fresh on the spot here.
You didn't read the. You didn't read the doc.
No, I did, but I guess I put it in later, didn't you?
No, I put that in earlier.
Say it again.
So Miles Sanders didn't play. So after the game, they asked him, "Was it an injury? Whatever, blah blah blah." Sirianni said, "There's no injury. We've seen him play. We know what he is."
No, I didn't see that on there. But
you didn't see that? Okay.
No. I mean, I guess if he's a guy that. Is injury prone, why risk it? Right. He's going to be their 1-2 down guy, so would it be nice to see him? Yeah, but, like, we do know what he is, so, like,
yeah,
I'm kind of okay with that, I guess.
Yeah, especially, like, we've said it in the past, there's going to be, an interesting battle for the roster when it comes to like that fourth running back spot. So maybe it's just a sense of like, well, we know he's a running back one. We don't want to, you know, running back is a demanding position. Like, right. we don't want to beat up by week 13. We have an important, you know, battle somewhere else down the roster. Let's get more of a, you know,
more touches book to Johnson.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Get more looks somewhere else to see what, you know, what we want to do with the fourth spot. So, yeah, I mean, that's possible.
Right.
I imagine we'll see him at some point, like during the preseason, because you don't want him completely, you know, fresh right. and new going into week one. So I imagine right. we'll see him at some point.
I'm kind of anticipating who's going to play Thursday and how long. Because I think Brandon Brooks only played the first drive. Like you said, yep. Sanders, if we get to see him, how long Hurts is going to play. Because I'd like to try to see them. Like now that there's only three preseason games, you have to imagine that like the third game, nobody's going to play. So like,
yeah,
I'd like to try right. to see at least a quarter and a half maybe of this offense. Maybe not Brooks, but Hurts and Ertz and Goddard and the receivers, definitely. So
do you,
and like you said, Sanders.
That brings me on my next question, like, because you brought up the receivers. If he can play, would you want to see DeVonta Smith in the preseason or just hold him out till week one?
Selfishly, yes, but probably not.
Yeah. I think it's the right answer.
I mean, if it's the regular season, he wouldn't miss any time.
Right.
Maybe he misses a week, maybe, but I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough call. I probably would sit him, though. I probably wouldn't play him. I don't think they're going to play him. So.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
That's probably what
I'd do. Yeah, I think it's fair. And again, you want to see more from like Rager, because like, I don't know what's going on with Rager. I mean, it's only second year, obviously, right? So like things can improve for him, but it's got to get better.
Yeah, he's had an up and down training camp. The things I've read is he had a bad day, he had a good day, had a bad day, a good day. I mean, I think if these other receivers kind of start to pan out a little bit, he'll play better too. I think that, and it's only been one game with Sirianni in this offense, so like we haven't really seen much of this yet, but like I think that they have to start running plays that suit him, which they didn't do last year. Like they never threw screens to him last year. They made him go deep like here and there. You know what I mean? Like I don't know if you remember the first game last year, week one against the Redskins. I think Wentz overthrew him a little bit. Or no, it was a deep pass. He caught the deep pass. It was like 70 yards, and you didn't see it the rest of the year. So it's like the things that were working last year, they went away from, and like I kind of want to see them build plays around him.
And they might. Like
I want to see the right. things that he – I want to see his strengths played out. Like
and I wonder
the screen passes right. and the short five-yard bumps and the five-yard button hooks and going deep. And
that's what he did in college.
You know, I just right. That's what made him a first-round pick. So
right.
I just want to see the offense run around – certain plays run around these guys, like, executed. I want to see them actually called. I want to see them – you know,
yeah, but like
do these things that he's drafted these guys for.
Right, but preseason is like notoriously like very light, I guess, for lack of a better term,
yeah.
in the sense of like you don't want to show your hand.
It's black and white.
Yeah, you don't want to show your hand. Right. You don't want to, you know, have the rest of the league have the book on you for games that don't matter. So we could see those things come week one.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm not getting down on Rager yet. I want to see if this offense can build their playbook around his strengths in the
right.
It's not going to come in the preseason. It's a very black and white playbook in the preseason.
Yep.
It's very basic things in the preseason.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you're not going to see, and you're going to see plays that you see week one that you're not going to see in week 12 and vice versa. You know, they're going to come up with new plays come week 12. So like,
right.
It's going to expand. It's going to advance. And but it's not just him either. It's, I want to see them continue.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
To draw up plays for Watkins that fit his strengths, and Goddard and Ertz and Fulgham. Like, I think I said it last week or the week before, like, Jeffrey came back and Fulgham just disappeared after he was having a really good season for an undrafted rookie. Like, an undrafted wide receiver. Like, why did we go away from it? For a guy that didn't want to be out there, and B, was coming off an injury. Like, I just want to see them draw plays. Like, they drafted, I want to see them draw plays for these guys in the right way, and they drafted a guy like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who in college he was known to be the jump ball guy in the red zone. They drafted a guy for an offense that had never does that.
Right.
They never do that kind of stuff. So, like, I just want to see them draw plays for the guys.
They really didn't even do, I mean, I know occasionally they didn't really do it for Alshon Jeffrey, and that was like his thing either. That was his thing, and they never did it to him either. So
exactly, and you're right. It's right. You bring in a guy that you don't even do his specialty, but Jeffrey could do way more than that.
He could, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So it's not as big of a deal, but I definitely hear what you're saying. I agree.
So, any other takeaways from that game? I mean, we got another game coming up Thursday against the Patriots, right? Is that who they got? I think on Thursday. Patriots, yeah. So. We'll see what happens then. Again, hopefully we see more of the offense. I don't expect a whole half, but maybe at a quarter. I think that's all I'm asking for at this point because, Hurts played two drives, I think, right? So
yeah, it was two drives, yep.
Yeah, so hopefully we see a little more of him.
Right. I'd like to see a quarter and a half. If it was a whole first half, I'd be okay with that too, to be honest. But selfishly, I do want to see at least a quarter and a half.
Do you have any worries of him taking hits in preseason? Like, because he took a couple hard ones. He got rid of the ball, but maybe a second too late where he took a hit he didn't necessarily have to take.
I mean, sure, but that's any quarterback.
Yeah.
I think you feel that way about any quarterback, whether it's Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, if that's your quarterback, you know what I mean?
Right.
But he seems like a tough kid. You know, you never want to see your quarterback take those hits, but for the black and white answer, yes. Like, yeah, I don't want to see that, but... Yeah. But, or for the obvious answer, but
right. But he seems like he's making smart decisions with the football. Like he knows when to get rid of it. He doesn't, at least so far that we've seen, he doesn't make, you know, dumb decisions and turn the ball over as much as he probably could. And you know,
I don't know that yet though, because it was one play in the preseason. Like I said, the Ertz drop on third down, he had a wide open guy running down the sideline, but. Even in they said he looked terrible today in practice. Like he threw a couple picks. Yeah, he's having trouble in the red zone. Like, it's a little worrisome. Again, it's training camp. It's the preseason. We'll see when it matters the most. We'll see, what he can do.
We've said it before. Like this season, ride on Jalen Hurts. So if he's not right, then you know, they got issues. Because, like, Joe Flacco's not taking him anywhere.
Like, right. Well, you know what I mean? I know what you mean by issues, but I don't expect them to be great. So if they go 4-12, whatever the record would be, 4-12 or whatever, or 4-13, I guess, is with the, the new schedule.
Yep.
But honestly, that's not the worst thing in the world because then you know you need to get a new quarterback. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't expect them to be a Super Bowl team this year, so like, it's just as important going 4-13 as it is going 13-4. Like, you need to know what you have, and if you don't have it in them, then you go out and you trade for a quarterback. You go next year, you go out and sign a quarterback. You go out and draft a quarterback. Whatever it is,
right?
It's very important whether they go 4-13 or 13-4.
One last question before we wrap this up: would you have any interest in bringing in Deshaun Watson? At this point,
I mean, it's my answer is probably the same as it was 2 weeks ago when we talked about this. Probably not, because I'm seeing things that look. He's a great quarterback, and I'd love to have him, and I think he could win you a Super Bowl. But I don't think anything's going to happen until the spring. Like I was reading things that said like
it's wild. Like the NFL's not even gonna...
not.
The NFL's not going to give him suspension or anything? Nothing at all until part settled.
Yeah. I mean, it's just allegations at this point. I mean, the stories are terrible.
Yep.
But right now it's just allegations, and when you go to court and you settle, it becomes more than allegations. So I read something that said like it's not gonna really start until the spring next year. So I don't think he plays at all this year. I don't think he suits up at all this year. But that's the issues you have is even if he can suit up and play and you trade for him, you're gonna give up all this capital, all this draft capital, all this talent or possible talent to have him for a year and then him go to jail next year as a possibility, or him make a settlement and be suspended for 4 to 8 to a whole season. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So like it's tough. It's really tough. I just think they should stay away from it. I really do.
Okay. Yeah, I don't hate that.
Even ethically, I think they should.
Yeah, and I don't hate that answer. I'm somewhere right there, too. I agree.
It sucks because he's a great quarterback, and you want him on the team, but not if he's a scumbag.
Absolutely. No, I don't disagree.
We got some baseball breaking news.
I was just about to say that as well.
You go for it.
Apparently they're going to keep this Field of Dreams thing. Is that the thing you're talking about?
Yep.
Apparently they're keeping the Field of Dreams game in 2022. The Cubs and the Reds will square off in that matchup next year. So there you go.
It's a really bad matchup.
Breaking news. I wonder if they're, because Iowa's so close to like Chicago, and Chicago's obviously a big market, if they're going to try to keep like Chicago teams in it. Like you saw the White Sox this year.
Right.
The Cubs next year. Like I wonder if they're going to try to keep that in. Even Cincinnati's a little closer, close to Iowa in that geographical sense. So I wonder if they're trying to keep it, near that area.
Yeah, and I'll say it that this, remember a couple years ago they did a Little League games or whatever? Like, the Phillies played the Mets, and then I think the Pirates played the Cardinals or something the year after.
Right.
It's way better than that. That was
absolutely. That was boring. I don't even remember watching it. I don't think I watched it.
Yeah, it was not good. So, they finally found something that
however, my only issue, maybe not issue, but my only concern is if you do this every year, that could water it down. You know what I mean? If you do it every year, maybe it loses its luster, right? Maybe it's not as interesting the third, fourth, fifth year you do it, because we've seen it before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I think it'll be fun going into next year. Let's see how next year goes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying though.
Because, you look at, hockey. I'm a big hockey fan, right, obviously. When they brought in the Winter Classic, it was, the coolest thing in the world, right? And it's still a cool atmosphere, but, I feel like they have 4 or 5 outdoor games every year.
Right.
Right? So yeah, I feel like it's not as special. Right.
For sure. I hear you.
So, did you want to break down the AFC, or do you want to save that for next week?
That's up to you. I mean, I don't. We're what, about an hour 13 in, so.
Hour 13, yeah.
Yeah, so it's up to you.
We can break it down real quick.
Okay,
that's fine. I did forget about that in the doc. So, who were your favorites coming out of the AFC?
So I got a list of like a couple weeks ago when we did the NFC. I got my top teams. I got my good teams. I got my on the cusp, and I got my flat out stink.
Okay.
So my top teams, I think it's 3 teams. The Chiefs, the Bills, and the Titans. I think the Titans are probably the third on that list, but obviously the Chiefs and the Bills are. We were in Boston. We actually met a Bills fan. It was this girl. She brought like a Bills cosy or whatever to the bar.
She's part of the Bills Mafia.
She is. So I was talking. I was like, "Oh, are you from Buffalo?" She's like, "Yeah." She's like, "Go Bills." So every single time I walked by, I was like, "Go Bills," and she would go Bills. She said some crazy things about Josh Allen. But I can't really repeat here, but
now I'm curious.
first she said to me, I'm such a big Bills. She was really drunk, and I was too. But she was
obviously.
She was like, "How many Bills fans do you know that bring a cosy to the bar?" And I said, "Hun, I don't know any Bills fans, so I don't know what to, I don't have an answer for you." So,
what did she say? Well, you could say here. What did she say about Josh Allen?
That she'd take him into a room and absolutely fuck the like brains out of him. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's fine.
And I said, hey, I probably would too, but
right. Hey, to each their own, right?
Right. No, but she was super cool. Her friend was from like Long Island or whatever, and she was a Giants fan. So like I was like, fuck Eli, fuck the Giants, fuck Tyree, fuck Lawrence Taylor. I was like, fuck New York. And then she was like, fuck the Eagles. She's like, you don't even have a quarterback. She's like, you can't even figure that out. And I was like, you got me there. But we were going back and forth. We were like, I was like, fuck the Mets. She was like, yeah, fuck the Mets. I'm a Yankees fan. And I was like, fuck the Rangers. And she was like, whoa. I was like, no, fuck the Rangers. And then the girl from Buffalo, I was like, we're going to fucking stake. We're going to. I cursed a lot. I was like, we're going to take Jack Eichel from you, bitch. Like, it was crazy.
It's aggressive.
Okay, so anyway, back to the AFC.
The Titans. So you have the Titans winning the AFC South.
Yes.
Did that change when the Carson Wentz news went down, or did you always have the Titans above the Colts?
No, I had the Titans above. Their offense is unbelievable.
Yeah. Especially now you add Julio to it.
Right. Julio, another year of AJ Brown. Derrick right. Henry. I don't think Henry does what he did last year.
That was stupid what he did last year.
Yeah, it just wasn't real. We live in a simulation.
Right.
So, but yeah, I got the Chiefs, Bills, Titans at the top. The Colts, I think, could win the wild card, one of the wild card spots. But they're actually on my list of good teams. So these are the teams that I think can get in because there are other spots that have to fill for the playoffs. So we got the Browns, the Steelers. And let me say about the Steelers, I love the overs. I think it was 8.5. Like, I actually might take that for wins this year. I don't know if they win 12
games. 8.5. I have to look at their schedule. 8.5, that's their over-under, the Steelers?
Yeah, it's like plus, I think plus one something, 150 or 120. So it's like 25 wins you 55 or something. So
right,
I might fire that in. So yeah, I got the Browns, the Steelers, and the Steelers. You know, you gotta kind of worry a little bit about Big Ben this year. So
yep, but like a year ago they were what 14-0 or 13-0 before they
right.
They had a rough few games. I forget.
Yeah,
what
they lost
exactly
like the last three
being.
Games, including the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah. They were 13-0, and then they lost three, and then a fourth, or was it 14-2?
I don't remember. I do know they lost the last game of the year, which they didn't play anybody. But then they played the Browns, I think, the last week last year, and then they played them in the playoffs the following week, and they talked shit and got beat.
Who do you have winning the AFC North then?
The Steelers.
I know you mentioned the Browns in there as well. So
yeah, no, I got the Steelers winning the North, AFC North. I have the Browns who could be a wild card, and just like last year, the Ravens as well. I have them on the good team list. I don't love the Ravens like everybody else does, but they're a good fantasy football team. Like, I guess Lamar Jackson's okay. Mark Andrews is
a rough year last year. Yeah, Lamar had a rough year last year. So.
I like Dobbins. Fantasy wise,
okay,
but yeah. So I got the Browns, the Steelers, the Ravens, and the good list. I got the Colts and the Patriots. I don't know if I think the Patriots are going to be good. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but we'll see. Right. I think they're better than they are last year. Made a lot of moves. So,
or was that the Patriots you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, their quarterback still Cam Newton. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't really,
it might not be.
They didn't really
week,
just...
It might not be week 8 or 9. So
who was it? Who was that? I forgot they drafted him. Yeah.
I don't know how good he could. He could be the
right.
next Brady. He could be the next Chad Henne. I don't know. Like,
right.
I definitely didn't think I was going to say his name today, but when I woke up this morning.
No, I bet you didn't.
But yeah, funny. So like I said, I got the Browns, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Colts, and the Patriots, who I think are good teams.
Right.
I think the Patriots might be on like that on the cusp, good team, kind of like you could put them on either side, but on the cusp I have the Raiders, the Chargers. I love the Chargers this year.
Okay.
I think the I think the Jaguars and the Dolphins are kind of on the cusp, and then I think the Jets are like on the stink, but on the cusp list.
On the cusp of what?
Of
on the cusp of being mediocre.
Right. Yeah. No. I think they're on the cusp of from
getting
stink
out
to,
of the basement.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Gotcha,
getting
gotcha.
a new era. I don't know how good this quarterback is going to be. I don't know how good this coach is going to be. The defense is nice.
I really like Wilson.
They brought in some receivers.
I really like Zach Wilson's mentality. I'll tell you that. Did you hear his quotes after his practice a couple weeks ago?
I might have.
So it was, I forget what exact drill they were doing. I think they were doing like a 2-minute drill type thing. And he threw an interception in it. And he was asked about it. Like after the practice is over, he's asked about like why he made that throw. Like, you're struggling. What's the deal? And he said, P essentially said that, well, like, listen, this is practice. Like, I'm right now, I'm trying to figure out what I can and can't get away with.
Right.
If we're in a game, maybe I don't make that throw. But I made that throw. I see if I get away with it. I couldn't. Well, now I know I can't.
Right.
Like, to me, it's a mature, real answer that you just don't hear quarterbacks make.
Yeah, no, I like that. I don't know how good he's going to be, but you definitely like to hear those kind of things, especially from a rookie, a kid.
Right. Yep.
But yeah, I think a good season for them is like 7 wins. So like, can they get 7 wins? Possibly. Can they get 3 wins and that's it? Possibly. Like, I don't know. So that's why I have them on like the maybe on the cusp of rising up. They're not going to make the playoffs, but
right.
Because I think they're still the fourth worst team in that division. I think they're the fourth team in the division.
Yeah.
But like I said, the Broncos, the Jags, and the Dolphins are on the bottom of the cusp.
Well, Denver just needs a quarterback. Like, once they figure that out, I think they'll be decent, you know?
Yeah. They're saying Judy looks unbelievable in practice.
I bet he does.
KJ Hamler can just fly.
Yep.
They have so many receivers, Cortland Sutton. Like, they're gonna have to trade somebody. But
And they have a decent run game. You have
So
Melvin Gordon, and then who is their backup? I forget who they have.
I'm drawing off the top of my head.
Royce Freeman, he might still be there.
No, I think they cut him last year.
Did they cut him?
Yeah.
They had a good core of running backs last year. I do remember that. I don't remember who's still on the team, but they need a quarterback. Once they figure out quarterback, I think they'll be good. But
yeah, because both of their quarterbacks stink.
Stink, so, yeah.
Locke and Bridgewater, but
right, yeah, they both stink.
I don't know if you saw any of Trevor Lawrence, but he looked really good for the Jags in the preseason.
Did
first
he?
Game. Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Dolphins, again, it's going to come down to Tua. They have a good defense, a nice defense. They drafted Waddle. They have Parker, who just can't stay. I'm a fan of Devontae Parker, but he just can't stay healthy.
Right.
So when he is healthy, he's very good. Mm-hmm. So, teams like the Jets and the Dolphins, it's all going to depend on the young quarterback. They have good offense. Both teams have really good offensive lines. So it's all going to depend on the decision-making of the quarterback.
Right.
And then I have two teams on my absolutely stink list.
Okay.
One of them's obvious. It's the Texans.
Yeah.
They might not win 2 games this year if Watson doesn't play.
Even if Watson does play.
They might not even get 5 wins if he
right.
wins.
Like, he's got talent. But he hasn't shown me that he could be, like, a winner in this league because every time he plays, they win 4 or 5 games. Like,
right.
That's just what they are, even with him. So without him, yeah, they might not win 2.
Right.
Like,
so, yeah, I got the Texans and then the Bengals. I think the Bengals flat out stink, too. I love Joe Burrow, but the offensive line – like, I'm a big Burrow fan. I hate Ohio State, but I am a big – oh, no, he went from Ohio State to LSU.
LSU, right. Yeah.
But still, I was a big fan of the LSU team. I love Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be very good.
And you got Jamar. You got Jamar Chase.
Jamar
now.
Chase, Tyler Boyd.
Yep.
Who's the T Higgins?
Yep.
I just think that their defense sucks ass,
and
their
offensive line
sucks ass.
Yep.
Like major ass.
They didn't address it at all, and that's the reason your quarterback
got
his knee
hurt.
Mangled up. Yeah.
Right. So, like I said, I love Burrow, love the receivers, hate everything else about them. Oh, and the running back is good, too, but they just didn't do what they had to do this draft.
If they figure out their offensive line, like, their offense could be scary.
They just play in a really hard division.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I think all three of those teams can make the playoffs this year, so, like, but going forward, maybe, I think they're going to be a good team in 2 or 3 years if they continue to draft, if they draft right.
Right. Well, yeah, you're going to have to address the offensive line like at some point.
Offensive line and defense.
Right.
So yep. I think the Bengals, the Texans, the Lions are all going to be like top five picks this year.
Yeah,
the
Lions are terrible. Lions are going to be
awful.
And we
talked about them a couple weeks ago. But
yep, absolutely.
But that's all I got for the AFC. All
right. Yeah, sounds like a good breakdown. We got a few more weeks left. I think, what, 3 or 4 weeks until the Eagles play week one. So we're almost there. We got our.
I am waiting.
Right. What's today's date? The 16th. So in 10 days we have our fantasy draft with Drunk on Broad with the podcast league. It's all around. I was excited for football.
Just about to say that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So just about to say that. We got the draft next week. The week after that, it's the week leading into Labor Day. That's college football.
Yep.
Labor Day weekend, and then the following weekend is it, man.
That's it.
We're here.
So we will be back next week to break down the Patriots game that happens on Thursday with a bunch more news. Maybe, you know, switching to the Flyers real quick, maybe they'll have news about Travis Sanheim. We'll see. Maybe we'll talk about that next week as well. So
and hopefully we got a couple of Phillies wins here.
Yeah.
Because the breakdown.
They need to get this right and compete and try to win this division. So we're going to get out of here. Follow us everywhere. You get podcasts, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, at Fired Up Podcast everywhere. And we will see you guys next week.
He's the fastest man alive.
He's the fastest kid alive.
Fastest kid alive.